we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to number two on the triple dipper. The lawfare is unraveling. So the lawfare against President Trump has been, bar none, the most hyper-abused use of the law to assail someone from all angles, civil, criminal, going after him, trying to bankrupt him, trying to smear him, trying to change things in terms of what his abilities are to run for president. It's been next layer awful. The one case that gave me the most pause, the one that I was concerned about, above all of them, was the case in Florida related to the use or the retention of classified documents. That case was just dismissed yesterday. Well, I'm going to quit talking about it. I'm going to bring somebody on who I think could speak directly to it. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, appointed by Trump in 2017. Jay Towne's got his degree from University of Notre Dame, his law degree from Seton Hall. He served for a number of years as a JAG officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, and he is on the line with us right this minute. Jay Towne, how you doing, man?
How are you doing?
I'm Fidelis. Semper Fi to you. Doing good. Hey, thanks for making time for us. What do you think, man? Apparently the judge saw fit to dismiss that case.
Yeah, you know, folks need to understand why it was dismissed. It wasn't dismissed because it was meritless. It was dismissed because the person who brought it didn't have the authority to bring it any more than some civilian walking around the mall does. You know, there are rules for these things. I was appointed and nominated by the President of the United States, confirmed by the Senate, which meant I had the plenary power of a United States attorney. But, Bill, I could only prosecute cases here in the Northern District unless I got special permission from the Attorney General to go to another district and do so. That's why David Weiss's prosecution of Hunter Biden is fine, safe. He was presidentially appointed. I served with David, in fact, and he was confirmed by the Senate, and then he was made special counsel, having already been confirmed by the Senate for such a position with such power. Jack Smith was a civilian one day, woke up the next day, and had unblemished, unfettered authority to do whatever he wanted, wherever the hell he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eileen Cannon, at least, said, yeah, that's not how it works. And, you know, Justice Thomas wrote about it in the immunity opinion. He had a concurring opinion where he simply just addressed the prosecution itself and directed Judge Chutkan, the trial judge in the D.C. Circuit, to make a determination about Jack Smith's eligibility. This doesn't mean that the case is gone forever. This DOJ strikes me as one that may go back and indict again. But you get back on another schedule, they're going to draw Judge Cannon again. So it's not like all the motions and things like that, but they'll all have to be revisited. The immunity case still has to be revisited. I don't see any of these cases. I don't even see the Manhattan case being sentencing even going forward at this point. And the lawfare, as you said on the lead-in, is crumbling. It's falling apart.
Yeah, it really is. So this ruling with Judge Cannon, I mean, I saw today that the DOJ has already authorized or granted leave for Jack Smith to go ahead and appeal. So I guess he still has – he has grounds to appeal, even though he technically was told he didn't have grounds to do anything. He's going to appeal his position. That being said, it goes to the 11th Circuit. What are your thoughts on that that circuit and where it heads? I mean, I'm an attorney. I tend to lean towards the 11th Circuit's rulings on a general basis, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very conservative circuit. Bill Pryor runs the circuit right now on the 11th Circuit. He's down in Birmingham. Good judge, good man. Was the attorney general here in the state of Alabama for a period of time. And, I can tell you that, they will not be in a hurry to hear this case. And so, I mean, it's great that Jack Smith is appealing because he's just going to run the clock out for another 90, 120, 150 days. You know, and this is the guy that vowed to prosecute Trump no matter when the trial date fell. It didn't matter if it, you know, fell the week of a national election for president of the United States.
Yeah.
So this case is now really being torpedoed by DOJ itself. It's kind of a graceful exit for the Mar-a-Lago case in the sense that, you know, it'll still be under appeal. And then a new DOJ will come in January of 2025, and they will withdraw the appeal, and that'll be the end of the case. There won't even be a case to dismiss at that point.
I would agree. We could send Jack Smith packing at that point. But, so let me ask you this, though. I've not, and I don't know if you have either, so if you got an opinion on it, let me know. But I know that Judge Cannon's, her decision was a 93-page decision. But the... Did it, you made reference a moment ago to Justice Thomas's writing recently
in the concurring
opinion. Did that concurring opinion, did it bleed into the Judge Cannon's decision? Did she reference it at all?
She cites it four different times.
Wow.
Yes. And she quoted from it. But really, and you know, she also parroted some of the same case law that Justice Thomas used to justify his concurring opinion about Jack Smith's authority or lack thereof. But she came to her own conclusion. It was a well thought, pithy decision. Folks are going to disagree with it if they want to, but you can't say it was just a sloppily drafted opinion that didn't have any basis in originalist text. It did. And it had basis in the case law that interpreted that text. So, you know, she gave it a lot of thought, she released it yesterday. And remember, this isn't just against Trump. This is against his co-defendants,
yeah,
too. And as you also said in the lead-in, you thought that maybe he had the most exposure in the Mar-a-Lago case. I tend to agree with you, Bill. The obstruction charges especially were perilous if you know, a jury were to believe them. So, you know, to have all of that dismissed and then have to start anew with all of the timeframes involved in this type of litigation, just because they started it once doesn't mean that it, you know, gets on some rocket docket. Nope, it's not how it works. Goes to the back of the line. Southern District Florida has other cases, believe it or not. Jack Smith might not believe it, but, you know, we are prosecuting people in this country, not like we did, you know, between 2017 and 2021. There's other stuff going on other than lawfare prosecutions of a guy because people don't like him.
Well, Jack Smith can probably plan on getting a job as a pundit on MSNBC or something, some contributing legal analysis that he can give that would be skewed, and we'll see his true colors at that point. But so
maybe he can replace Mika and Joe on Morning Joe since they get every now and then.
We
don't know what you're going to say. Yeah. I mean, think of that. 25 years on air. We don't trust what you're going to say tomorrow. So, we're just going to bench you.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Take the day, fellas. Have a walk in the park. We got this.
Right.
Hey, so listen, wrapping this up, we got what? The Alvin Bragg case, it's a state level case, but it had federal ties up in New York, is going to be appealed, probably is being appealed as we speak, although they got sentencing for that coming up in September now. Then we've got the civil case with E. Jean Carroll, which is being appealed right now. We've got the Florida case being dismissed. We got the immunity case being decided. What's going on with Fannie Willis? Do we not know? Is Fannie still out there? I mean, what's going on with the Fannie Willis case in Georgia? Do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, she is under scrutiny by an appellate body there, and they're not in a hurry either. But it's a very conservative draw, the three appellate judges that she drew to determine whether or not, A, she lied under oath when she took the stand saying that she didn't have a relationship with Nathan Wade, and two, whether or not her conflict of interest results in her recusal from the case, which means her whole office is recused, and they would have to send it to a new prosecutor who would promptly dismiss the charges because, again, with the immunity decision, you know, a phone call that Mark Meadows makes now to a Secretary of State, that is absolutely immune from a fact that you could present in to a grand jury.
Yeah.
I mean, the Manhattan and the Georgia cases are done because they were littered with tweets and phone calls from the Oval. And what did the chief of staff and the president talk about, and the vice president even? Those are all Article II functions. And it gutted all four of the cases. But man, to have the Mar-a-Lago case dismissed, the one that it didn't really touch that much, the immunity decision, that is. the guy said, I mean, I know he got shot in the ear, and it's awful. And it's terrible that a man lost his life right in front of his family.
Yeah.
But if you're Donald Trump, you've had quite a month's worth of victory, and I hope that he has another one here in about 3.5 months.
No doubt. Well, listen, J-Town, we appreciate you, as always, jumping on, giving us some analysis, and your background and your perspective is much appreciated, man. So thanks for what you do, and Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate
All right. you. Take care. There you go, man. The Lawfare just unraveling. Like, as we speak, the cases are just falling apart. And that's the thing. It's sort of like the old idea about trying to support a lie typically means you have to lie some more and then remember what you lied about. And then eventually the lie begins to backfire on you because you can't lie enough to maintain the original lie. That's where we are with Lawfare. The majority of this is crumbling because it was baseless. They're doing everything they can to live a lie. And yet this is not what the law was intended. I mean, the idea that we're a nation of laws does not mean you're allowed to use it as a bludgeon, all right? And I listen, we still need to see Trump elected, all right? We do. Let's do not let our guard down, but I will say this. Aside from what happened Saturday, which was awful, the man is otherwise having a very strong month. Very strong month. He is proving once again that there's very few people that could have stood up under the weight of what he's had to endure. He had the personality, the personal resources, and he had truth on his side. And when you combine those three, they poked a bear that they didn't know what to do with once they poked it. I mean, Fannie Willis, she's like the dog who grabbed the bumper on the car and then didn't know what to do once she grabbed the bumper on the car. And she's been flailing and flagellating ever since. It may be flatulating. But anyway, all that to say, Lawfare is falling apart. All right, let's take a break there, Big Rig. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I got to catch up on some text messages. Big Rig, how many do we have right now? My soul. All right, you guys keep texting. We'll keep reading. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, making it cool to be a conservative. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, I got to pause here a second. And so over the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors on the show. Inspire Advisors is their name. Inspire Advisors. Look, did you know that some of the most popular companies for people to invest in today are just simply not aligned with biblical values? I mean, you might be investing in things and you have no idea that your investment dollars are unintentionally supporting stuff like abortion, pornography, even human trafficking, just to name a few. So, Inspire Advisors. Paul Breyer and his team over at Inspire Advisors, they are specialists in the field of what is known as biblically responsible investing, sometimes even called BRI. So Paul and the folks at Inspire Advisors, they would love to offer you a free consultation, no strings attached, just a free consultation to find out whether or not what is actually in your portfolio right now is aligned with biblically aligned alternatives. So the bottom line is this. You want to learn more about BRI. Contact Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire today. There's no cost, there's no obligation. Paul and Inspire Advisors, they want to help everybody align their investing with their values. So you grow your bottom line, but you also support the world view that you most love. All right? To reach Paul and his team, quickest way to do it, just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Sponsors tab from the Right Side Radio tab. click on sponsors, go right to their logo, click on it, it takes you right to their website. You can get a free consultation scheduled today. It's conservative, it's godly, it's balanced, it's financial freedom. It's Inspire Advisors. Check them out. All right, listen, I got one article here that we didn't quite cover in that discussion with Jay Town, so let me just touch on it. So this case down in Florida, and this was, and Jay and I both agreed, and I think many other people would too, that this was the legal position that was the most tenuous for President Trump. Daily Signal has an article that I thought was pretty instructive. It's basically, it says that the appeal of this, good luck, because it appears that the judge's opinion is pretty solid constitutionally. Now, it turned on a constitutional question. So when it turns on a constitutional question, then you have to see whether it is upheld by constitutional muster or it meets constitutional muster. And right now, the reality is it appears that it does. So here's the deal, and I'll give it to you real quickly. The question in the 93-page opinion written by Judge Eileen Cannon down in Florida is whether or not there's a separation of power that is being violated. And she references the Appointments Clause. If you're not familiar with the Appointments Clause, it's the Appointments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. It empowers the president with the advice and consent of the Senate to appoint public officials. Now, in this case, there was no authority, the judge says, for Jack Smith to have ever been appointed. Therefore, he had no authority to conduct the prosecution. Therefore, the case was moot. No prosecutor, no prosecution, case dismissed. So the Appointments Clause, it is absolutely critical. I mean, it literally maintains the checks and balances that are supposed to be there so that we don't have rogue situations like what we had right here. So she pointed out that Merrick Garland, if he'd wanted to, he could have appointed any one of the current 93 U.S. attorneys who were out there, like Jay Town was a former U.S. attorney. They could have even potentially brought a former U.S. attorney out of retirement and put them in position because they had already been once approved by Congress, or by the Senate, I mean. But instead, Judge Cannon noted rather wryly, according to the write-up here by Daily Signal, that Garland chose instead to select a private citizen and give him the full authority of a U.S. attorney with very little oversight or supervision. But he goes even one step further. There's the whole piece about the fact that the Appointments Clause requires that this be done in accordance with established law. Not only does the Appointments Clause say confirmation of the Senate being necessary, unless otherwise, you know, vested by Congress, there had been a law in place that was vested by Congress. It was a statute that was in compliance with the U.S. Constitution that would have allowed the president to make an appointment just like this, except that it expired in 1999, and it was never renewed. What that basically means is this. Merrick Garland hosed it. Hosed it. Tried to get out there and get his man. I need Jack Smith. Where's Jack Smith? He'll do anything. Let's get Jack Smith. So they get Jack Smith. Except Jack Smith has no authority. Now what do you do? Holy cow. You mean we had to have him approved by Congress? Well, you're the Attorney General. Go read the Constitution. Case dismissed. Awesome. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Taco Tuesday. We have already covered certain aspects of the RNC. We talked about lawfare unraveling. In a few minutes, I'm going to be jumping into number three of the Triple Dipper aftermath is what I'm calling it. But I got to catch up on some text messages. Y'all are amazing. So the text lines are open, which apparently half the world's already figured out. 833-68-RIGHT is the number. It's 833-687-4448. By the way, before I do that, I remind you guys that tomorrow, the latest edition or episode of the Right Side Right Philosophy podcast, video podcast, will be available. For download. It comes out every Wednesday. And then the other one, Right Click, comes out on Fridays. And then just had some pretty exciting conversations the last couple of days of, I think we have at least two other video podcasts about to join the Right Side family. So stay tuned for that. We'll let you know more. You can always find all those, by the way, on the website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Text messages. Let's see what we got here. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I got to say the Democrats, what you say about the Democrats is you reap what you sow. Well, there you go. Apparently Nikki Haley is also speaking tonight. She should. I mean, I wouldn't have voted for her. I never did not vote for her. I mean, if she was the only person running against Biden, I'd have voted for her. But the reality is she deserves the opportunity to speak from the platform tonight, and I'm glad of it. Gary from Decatur. But keep in mind, by the way, the RNC, the Republican National Convention, is the time when we coalesce the party. The primary is where we fight. The convention is where we unite. It is reasonable to duke it out, and all the different versions of what people think it means to be a Republican are in the primary. Moderates, conservatives, you know, Tea Party, Freedom Caucus type candidates, Senator on the road, you know, you got all of them. You got war hawks, you got border hawks, you got fiscal hawks, you got all of them. In the primary, you weed out and you sort out and you find the one who rises to the top. In this case, it was Donald Trump. Nikki Haley fought her fight. She stayed in longer than anybody else besides Trump. Give her a chance to speak. But the place where we are now, primary is over. This is why we unite. This is why you have Nikki Haley give a speech. Gary from Decatur, how is the Mar-a-Lago case more serious than Biden having classified documents in his garage when he's a senator? I never said it wasn't. He shouldn't have. And the very idea that they didn't even bother pursuing it is just very telling. Keep in mind, they didn't pursue it because allegedly he was just a sympathetic, kindly older gentleman with a weak memory. How lame is that? If you're too lame to be prosecuted, you should be too lame to be the president. David from Huntsville, was the appointments clause anything Republicans have been pointing to prior to this ruling from the judge? Yes. So I don't remember Radio Talk making this argument anywhere. Yes, it was. It was made in the D.C. case, Robert Mueller, during the Russia collusion. It was believed he didn't have it, but that was also a different circuit. And that judge in Washington, D.C., thank you for bringing this up, too, by the way, David. That judge in the D.C. circuit did not cotton to the arguments. Judge Cannon in Florida did. What that also does, though, is it creates what are known as conflicting opinions. So these verdicts, these rulings, these conflicting opinions from different districts, they create a patchwork quilt around the nation, and it is potentially there that at some point the Supreme Court of the United States may have to weigh in to provide the overarching, like, okay, all right, all you people who can't disagree, can't agree, here's what we're going to do from now on. And they make the ruling. That's why the Trump immunity case was so important recently. David, they have made it before, but it depended on what circuit they were in. The 11th Circuit, which is where Florida, Alabama, and Georgia are, is a very conservative circuit. Clint from Tony, Phil, great show as always. I was always taught tell the truth regardless, especially when the situation looked bleak, and I taught my kids the same. Apparently, President Trump has learned the same lesson, or by now he'd be in jail somewhere. Clint from Tony. Thank you, Clint. Way to raise your kids, too. JD from Hartzell, is the media really trying to tell us Iran picked a 20-year-old doofus to assassinate? No, they're not saying that. They are saying that there is no connection. They're saying they had two issues. Right now, in case you haven't heard, news story broke a little while ago that it is being said now that the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security had intelligence that gave them reason to believe that Iran was plotting against the life of Donald Trump. Keep in mind, he killed Soleimani. That was their guy, right? He took out Soleimani. They want payback. So I think Iran's been looking for an opportunity for a while. So they say that they had increased his security detail for that very reason. I think what they're trying to do is say, no, we weren't withholding assets. We actually increased it because of, you know, Iran. But they did also say the Iran intel is unrelated to this kid who climbed up on the roof with an AR-15. No, I don't think there's any tie-in whatsoever. Paul from Decatur, humming a long text about the Teamsters. He said, this is Paul from, yes, this is Paul from Falkville. The head of the Teamsters was a shock last night. Maybe there's hope for the unions. I'm not a big union advocate. Back in the 70s, we, the National Guard, battled the police and the firefighters in Memphis when they went on strike. Martial law was enforced. This was 1978. Interesting. He says, sorry, I didn't get to finish. Customer came in. Okay. He said, but the police and firefighters should not be in critical, such as they were. The city was locked down for a month because of their actions. Basically, what he's saying is unions made a mess of things, and he had to step in to help fix it. And he's shocked to see the Teamsters. Yeah, the Teamsters speech was not great last night. What he did say was, I don't care if you have an R or a D or an I by your name, as long as you're for the worker, we'll work with you. Okay. But other than that, it was a demanding, dogmatic speech, which felt somewhat out of kilter. I think Amber Rose's speech was better than his. Jeremy from Madison says, I think the point Republicans are trying to get across is that Republicans represent America, Democrats represent lies and destruction. Fair enough. Thank you for that. Chris from Huntsville says, in Pennsylvania, 2020 of 67 counties, 58 had more ballots than registered voters. Wow. Pennsylvania law forbids certification of elections in such cases. Yet Governor Wolf then broke the law by certifying it. He's a criminal. There was a lot of crap like that, man. There really was. And I don't think we're ever going to fully know to the extent that the 2020 election was jacked up. Brand new texter in the line, Becky from Huntsville. Becky, we're glad you're on the line. Says, I'm Becky from Huntsville. My question, it's a long one. Here we go. If the Biden administration cannot keep our former president safe, or 13 military personnel who are following his orders safe, who in their right mind would think his administration can keep everyday Americans safe? Oh, wait, he can't, she says. He's responsible for vetting and allowing illegal immigrants into our neighborhoods who tortured and murdered our most vulnerable citizens, teenage girls. Yep, his administration looked them over and welcomed them in to walk down our streets with our kids. He was complicit in the horrible things that happened to the people he supposedly sworn to protect. Long text, first-time texter, Becky, thank you. Thank you for joining the show. We're glad you're in the text line. Point well taken. I can't keep, like, they keep coming in while I'm reading more text. What a great problem to have, right? I'm looking over at Big Rig. Steve from Harvest says, he gives me an acronym. What does that acronym stand for? Anyway, he says, but Trump isn't a convicted felon. He's been found guilty of crimes, but he's not convicted until he's sentenced. Technically, he's convicted, but he has the right of appeal. So there's that, too. Bruce from Springville. Did you notice how serious and focused Trump looked when he walked in? I did. I sincerely believe God shielded him. He's dropping the axe on Biden and the Democrats, especially since Biden's turning his back on Israel. I would agree. Okay, listen, a couple more and I'll call it, and then we'll go to a break and I'll come back. I got a topic to jump into called aftermath. Jenny from Decatur, didn't Obama come out of nowhere? Didn't he serve an entire term in the Senate? Didn't he have that in common with Vance? I don't think he has anything in common with Vance. But yes, he didn't have a lot of experience and he ran for president. So there's that. James from Harvest. But I tell you what, though, I trust Vance's experience more than I trust Obama's, who was a community organizer. James from Harvest, at least he can admit when he's wrong about President Trump. I assume he's talking there about the Teamster guy. Okay. Last one, Jerry from Decatur. Phil, did you notice Trump's demeanor last night? Nothing like a near-death experience to change a man. I wonder what his original speech was before he tore it up and what he has for us for Thursday night. I know, because trying to do a parachute landing fall three floors to the concrete does. Oh, wow. Jerry, thank you, man. Appreciate you. All right, Big Rig, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. I gotta pause. I will say this. I got one more text for brand spanking new Jim from Grove Oak. He doesn't agree with Amber Rose's life choices, but he does agree with her doing her research and finding a better way. Good point. Welcome to the show, Jim from Grove Oak. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.